Welcome back in. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, are you ready for a little buy or sell NFL edition? And if you're not, you better get ready.
Well, I am. Hold on. Okay, I'm good. Jared is sending me now, like, Stephon Gilmore plays, like he gave up a big play. He's sending me, like, film clips to prove that apparently he had zero value in the last game. I just want to make sure Jared's film room is closed for a moment. So, yes, proceed.
Oh, good. Well, I hope he continues to keep us updated on what's happening in the Jared Stillman film room. All right, so it's been an interesting 3 weeks to begin the NFL season. Week four beginning tonight as the Dolphins take on the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday Night Football. We're just going to go purely I've got a few teams highlighted here, and I just want to know if you buy or sell the start that we've seen from them thus far. And we'll begin in the AFC North, where the Cleveland Browns find themselves at 2-1. And tied for first place atop the division with the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, no Deshaun Watson. Jacoby Brissett has been the starting quarterback, and the Browns still have found themselves at 2-1 on the season. And if not for an epic collapse to the New York Jets with a 14-point lead in the last 2 minutes, very well could be 3-0 on the season thus far. So, Joe, I ask you, with the Cleveland Browns, do you buy or sell their 2-1 start that we've seen thus far, tied atop the AFC North?
Well, I buy it. I think they're a pretty freaking talented team. Like, they've done a good job of building that team. Offensive line, running back, defensive talent. Amari Cooper is still really good. David Njoku. And, you know, I speak from fantasy owner experience. Very happy with both of them. I buy it. They're a talented team. It's going to be and look, I think Brissett's gotten better. It's one of my favorite things in sports, and it's one of the things that drives me crazy that some people, someone I just mentioned, by the way, can never, like, wrap their minds around the idea of, like, someone who's a professional athlete, like, who is something at, you know, even at 26, 27 could be actually better at 29. Like, we should all be, Robbie, you're 30 now. We should all be trying to improve in our lives. We can always get better. We can always, I'm so glad to bring this to a life philosophical discussion.
Yes, thank
you. Seriously. Yes, yes. But no, by Brissett, it looks like he's a better QB, or they're doing stuff that suits him. And I think they're going to be pretty decent here and be in position when sexual predator quarterback comes back to the lineup.
I want to sell him because I still hear what you're saying on Jacoby Brissett. I still, when you start to talk about the better quarterbacks in the AFC, he's not approaching that list for me.
Oh, no.
But I look at their schedule. They got the Falcons coming up on Sunday. They got the Chargers with Justin Herbert, you know, hobbling around on half his body being broken with the ribs over there, on the fractured ribs. And then the Patriots, who just lost their quarterback to a severe high ankle sprain. No telling when Mac Jones could be coming back. Like, they got some winnable games coming up on the schedule. So, like, I want to sell them because I don't know that I totally believe in the Browns, but their schedule suggests otherwise to me. So I think I'm going to have to buy them. I think I'm going to have to buy the Cleveland Browns at 2-1. And like I said, they should be 3-0, and then they totally screwed one up against Joe Flacco and the Jets. But as we know, Joe, like, you hang around long enough, Joe Flacco is going to get you. Just, it's the way it's going.
Exactly. Just be glad you don't have to see him anymore.
Yeah, just chalk that one up and move on. All right, sticking in the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals, the AFC champions from a year ago, the Super Bowl representatives from the AFC, they're off to a 1-2 start. They looked really good against the Jets the other day, but certainly have allowed pressure against Joe Burrow this season. We talked about their offensive line and the improvements on paper that they made in the offseason. That has not played itself out through the first 3 weeks of this season thus far. So are you buying or selling the disappointing start to the season for the Cincinnati Bengals?
So to clarify, are you saying I'm buying that the start means they're bad, or I'm buying them as a good team?
Buying that the start means that they're bad.
I'm going to sell. They've given up 15 sacks, most in the NFL, but it went from what they give up against the Steelers, 8 or something. It was like 8, then 5, then 2.
Getting better.
Yeah. It's like progress from a horrific start. It looks like a lot of that investment right now is not panning out the way they hoped, but we've seen this before. We've seen it with the Titans. I do think offensive line play is one of those things that you definitely can see improve a lot during the course of a season. I've got to expect some level of that with them. And they still have Joe Burrow and those receivers and what I think is a pretty talented defense. So I'm selling that this is a harbinger of like a huge plummet for them. In fact, I think tonight they will make my sell look good.
Ooh. Little early called shot there. I'm going to sell as well, although I will say I got some concerns with the Bengals. Like, the defensive side of the ball has not been as good as I thought it would be thus far. And, you know, you do have Ja'Marr Chase. You got Tyler Boyd. You've got T. Higgins. I mean, the receiving core is incredible. But if that offensive line continues to be a problem, like, there's only so much those guys are going to be able to, like, somehow through the first two games, the offensive line was worse than it was a year ago, which I thought was going to be impossible for the Bengals, but it was through the first two games. Now, hopefully they figured that out, but as long as Joe Burrow is healthy and upright, I think that the Bengals are going to have a chance. So I will sell that. All right, let's go ahead and get to what everybody wants to know. The AFC South, the Jacksonville Jags at 2-1. Joe Rexroad, are you buying or are you selling what we've seen from the Jacksonville Jaguars thus far, including, by the way, two dominant performances in the last 2 weeks?
I'm absolutely buying what we've seen. Now, I'm not ready to say they're winning this division, but I'm buying what we've seen. I don't think it's a fluky. I think now the Colts, the way they played last week, do they at least give the Jags a game? Yeah, probably. I mean, they caught the Colts. I feel like the Colts figured some stuff out week one and two to week three. But still, that was dominance. I mean, I watched that game. It was dominance. And certainly it was also out in L.A. and Justin Herbert banged up and stuff like that. But look, Trevor Lawrence is he was the number one pick. He was a great player in college. And he had a rookie year that you can blame it all on Urban if you want, or you can just acknowledge that rookie quarterbacks usually aren't very good. Some are, but most aren't, and most need time. The guy is a talent. So I'm buying what we've seen. Like, I don't think they're going to go tear through the whole league and do this to people. And I feel like there's maybe a humbling coming up here against the Eagles. But I absolutely buying that, like, this is not some smoke and mirrors, like, bad team posing as a good team. I think that they've got a chance to be like a 9-8. Maybe even 10-7, but I think like an 8-10 win possible team.
I'm selling. I'm just not willing to go there yet. I mean, they've been great the last 2 weeks, and I will say, I mean, I'm looking at this now. You know, the point differential around the league, the Buffalo Bills are at number one at +53, and the Titans have a lot to do with that. The Jacksonville Jaguars are at number two at +46. Number two
usually
in the
means something.
It usually does. They're number two in the league in point differential. I'm still just – I'm not willing to go there yet. I need to see it for a little bit longer. But I'm selling the Jags right now. It's been very impressive through the first 2 weeks. I do think they may be in for a little bit of a wake-up call coming up against the Eagles this week. But I'll say this, Joe. If they win that game, then I think I'm going to be forced to change my answer at that point.
Yeah. I don't think they will. But boy, if they do, whew, you know, it's funny, like a lot of people out there in these power rankings are putting the Eagles first right now, which seems a little bit aggressive to me, but they have looked good.
I've seen a lot of Dolphins number one. I've seen a lot of Eagles at number one.
What a year. Yeah, it's fun though. It's fun to have different teams. Real quick before we go to break, Alex on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, said, Jared used to say it's pointless for anyone besides players and coaches to watch film. Why is he Mr. All-22 all of a sudden? I don't know, but hashtag Jared's film room. I think we need to get that trending. Instead of Checker Vandy, can we do hashtag Jared's film room?
It may be something that we need to get done. 615-737-1025. We'll have more of NFL Buy or Sell coming up next. More of your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. It is Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see John Party coming up at Ascend Amphitheater tomorrow night. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I got a pair of tickets to see John Party at Ascend Amphitheater tomorrow night. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win those tickets. Talking all things NFL, welcoming your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Going through a little NFL buy or sell. Joe, let's keep it here locally. The Titans at 1-2. Not an impressive start to the season for the Titans. They let one get away from them against the Giants, got crushed by the Bills, and kind of held on for dear life last week against the Raiders to improve to 1-2. Are you buying or selling what we've seen thus far from the Titans in terms of what it could mean for them moving forward?
Okay, I want to clarify too. So buying that essentially the losing start means losing season?
Yes.
That's the toughest one. And obviously it's the one there's a lot of information really on both sides of this. I'm gonna sell very reluctantly. I think there are issues and concerns, and look, if it's gonna be another year of, not to excuse anything, but if it's gonna be another year of bad health, then at some point, like, you just can't keep smoke and mirroring your way through that. By the way, shout out to Dennis on the text line who said these injuries must be a result of Todd Downing's play calling.
Good. Thank you, Dennis.
But I'm going to sell. I still think that there's enough there for this team to become a good team, and there's enough history. Start with the coaching. They have been pretty good at figuring things out. They do the start a guy, cut a guy, and all that stuff a lot, and sometimes it doesn't work out at all. Sometimes it does work out. I mean, last year there were quite a few instances of, who are you? Oh, yeah, you're starting here. All right. And then you win the game with some key play from Buster Screen or whoever. And I know he wasn't that last year, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, coaching staff, I think Tannehill has come back this year, and I think he right now is given – his best, pretty close to it, clean up some things and help him out and get 22 rolling. Then I think that you have the chance to be a decent offense. You got to get 16 rolling. And then I still think defensively it could be good, but you have to have the health. You have to have your edge people. You got to have your linebackers. You got to have your safeties. And I think the corner group, if and when Molden comes back, has a chance. The Caleb Farley thing notwithstanding, right now it's a big disappointment, and who knows where that's going, but you could still be good without him because of how McCreary has emerged, and I love how Fulton played last week. I'm going through all the positions, basically, to explain why, narrowly, I'm selling.
It's really close with me. Like, at some point, regardless of what team you are, like, you can have – more questions than you have answers, and too many questions. And I think the Titans are honestly approaching that point. Like, they've got a lot of questions as they move forward here. And like you said, like, if it's going to continue to be just injuries happening left and right, like it's been thus far and like it was all last season, at some point you're just not good enough to overcome that anymore. So, I'll sell because, number one, I don't think the AFC South's great. And number two, I got a lot of confidence in Mike Vrabel. Those are really the two reasons I come up with. I mean, that's why I'm selling with the Titans and the start that we've seen. I think I think you're going to see them play well on Sunday against the Colts. Now, does that mean that they're absolutely going to win on Sunday? No, I don't know what's going to happen. We'll save that for Pigskin Pick'em coming up tomorrow at 9:30. But there's a lot of questions with this Titans team as they move forward. And the more I look at it, the more we talk about it, the more I do wonder if they have answers to those questions as they move along here. But reluctantly, I will be with you. I will sell, but it's very, very close. This is the closest one that I've had thus far.
You know, it's a line of scrimmage game. Always has been, always will be. I think some teams, it's more of a line of scrimmage game because of how they play. I mean, the Titans fall in that category. And I don't know where things are going to go with the offensive line. Lawan such a big loss. But I do think the Titans have been, but can be a lot more, a very salty defensive front. And that's, I mean, I like some of the depth. And let's remember a guy we haven't talked about, I don't think, yet this week going into this game. You know, Danico Autry seems to come up with big plays in big games, and he did against his old team last year, and he's a guy to watch this week. I still like the number of guys, and 98 has to be amazing. You know, he's got to be better, and he's got to be all-pro level, but I certainly would not rule that out.
Well, let me throw it out to you. The high school chemistry teacher, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, they're 3-0. They just took down the Buffalo Bills. Like you said, there's a lot of people that have the Eagles at number one on the power rankings, a lot that have the Dolphins at number one as well. At 3-0, Joe, are you buying the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I'm buying them as a viable playoff contender. So if that counts as buying, then I'm buying. Now, I'm not buying them as the best team in the AFC or anything like that. Like, I think they're going to lose tonight, and I think they're going to have their ups and downs. But look, Tua, there's some real sweet takes on Tua that are getting exposed. And, you know, it's such a good lesson to me on, first of all, you do need to somewhat believe what you see. It doesn't always work out this way, but we saw a lot of him in college, okay? And just like Trevor Lawrence, you know, he was bad last year. You saw enough of him too. You got to give these guys some time sometimes. You also got to give them support. And now he has that support. He has also had injuries. There's a lot going on there. I don't know that Tua is going to we had at the Athletic, we had a MVP straw poll, which I think that might come out today. But I'll just tell you, I said right now, do I think he's going to win it? No. But Tua is easily the MVP right now. I mean, how could he not be? Like, if you had to give the award out right now, he's the MVP of the league. And then Lamar Jackson second. And the only reason he's not is because Tua outdueled him. But they're going to have their ups and downs. And they're not going to be, I don't think, an elite team, like a Super Bowl contender. I am buying them as better than I think most people thought. And I'm definitely buying Tua as at least a good quarterback in the NFL. He's going to be that.
I'm buying them from the standpoint of, they have a problem that they present to other defenses that I'm not sure – well, I know other teams around the league don't present, and I'm not sure that there's an answer for. The two fastest wide receivers in the NFL play for the Miami Dolphins, and they're on the field at the same time, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And I think that is a big problem for the rest of the league. I mean, look, the Ravens game was kind of like the extreme example of they just totally took over the game, and that's why they won the game is because – Tua just said, you know what? I'm going to throw the ball down the field to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and they're not going to be able to stop them, and they weren't. But I just think as long as those two are healthy, I mean, you got to be scared to death if you're a defensive coordinator with those two guys and what they bring to the table. And it feels like, you know, everybody is going to pay attention to Tyreek Hill from that. You know, Jalen Waddle had over 100 catches last year, but a lot of them came, you know, 4 or 5 yards down the field at the line of scrimmage. That has changed under Mike McDaniel. They are sending him deep. And it is working out very well for them thus far. And I just don't know if both of those guys are doing that down the field. I don't know if there's an answer for that.
That look off left and post to Waddle against the Bills that set up the winning touchdown Sunday. I mean, honestly, it was actually, you know, different route and everything, but it reminded me a little bit of the, you know, coming in cold and just winning the natty, you know, with Tua. That was, talk about a big time play.
Yeah.
And again, like the Bills we're like in like, you know, cover two. I mean, like that shouldn't have been able to happen, but it did. So they're a ton of fun, and I definitely buy them as that.
Joe Rexroad's favorite coach in the league, the Denver Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett at 2-1. A big 11-10 slugfest the other day win against the San Francisco 49ers. Tied atop the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs for first place. Joe Rexroad, are you buying the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson?
A big sell.
Hard sell.
Hard sell on that one. And I've talked about fantasy ownership, things that make me happy. Here's one that makes me very sad. It's gross. And not even like take away the Hackett timeout, just debacle, which I still believe is fireable, but he didn't get fired. I think they're just not good, and they're pretty good on D, but it does. I don't think it works. I don't think it's going to work. It is absolutely mind numbing to watch them play offense. And I don't want to ever do it anymore this season. Please don't make me.
615-737-1025. I'm selling too, by the way. Hard sell. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Vols, including a spicy one yesterday between Caroline Fenton and Joe Rexroad as it pertains to the Tennessee Vols. More on that next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, Robbie, you guys were talking a little Miami versus Cincinnati tonight on Superbook. Miami is +3.5. I'm going to take Miami +3.5, but I think I'm going to take the Bengals on the money line. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. And you don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. Right now, Superbook has their lines up for every pro game for the rest of the season. Plus, which team do you think will win the title? Who's your MVP? I like Lamar Jackson for that. And who will surprise in the SEC? Wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports, along with football. Superbook also accepts wagers on every other major sport. Bring Vegas to the palm of your hands. And now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. So get in on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9700. 789. Join me this Saturday at Lucky Duck Lounge in East Nashville at 2512 Gallatin Avenue for the SEC Game of the Week presented by bettinghero.com. They're going to help you enjoy your experience by betting on mobile and maybe even buy you a beer. The fun starts at 2:30 Saturday, and it's Alabama versus Arkansas this week.
Looking forward to that one coming up this Saturday, and Michelle will be out there for that as well. Big weekend of college football. No Vanderbilt or Tennessee this weekend as well. But, Joe, you got into a passionate discussion yesterday on what was supposed to be Jared versus Joe that basically turned into Caroline versus Joe to begin the show yesterday about your take yesterday and our discussion here on this program about a 10-2 Tennessee team. If they have close losses to Bama and Georgia, would they be college football playoff worthy? And I think it's fair to say, Joe Rexroad, that Caroline Fenton passionately disagrees with your take that you threw out there that they would be worthy of the college football playoff.
Well, first, let me set it up for those who didn't hear us yesterday. This was almost like a eureka moment, because the day before we were talking about the Vols. Couldn't they be 10-2? It's on the table now. No one reasonably expects them to beat Georgia and Alabama. Some may. That's fine. But I don't. But 10-2, okay, so New Year's Six Bowl. That'd be huge. That'd be the biggest bowl they've been to in a long, long time. So we're talking about that. And then I thought about it. I'm like, what if they were 10-2 and they played arguably the top two teams in college football close, and those are their only two losses? How is that not a team in the discussion for the college football playoffs? So that's the genesis of this. It kind of turned into, I think, maybe people taking it as like I'm saying this is absolutely a playoff team. I wasn't saying that, but I do think it's a legit discussion, and I think I have the receipts and the goods to prove it. And Caroline got very upset with me. Do we have the Caroline yelling at me audio?
Yes, one second.
We'll set that up here in just a few minutes, but I don't think there's any question that she was upset by that. Now, just for clarification, we did talk about this yesterday here on the show, but it was one of those things where I even said yesterday at the time, if they go 10-2, I don't believe that they'll get in the playoff. I just don't. And I understand that USC, their schedule is not good. Clemson, we'll see what they're a little bit more of what they're made of this week as they take on NC State, which I know Joe Rextro is just fired up about the Clemson and NC State game coming up this weekend. Top 10 matchup there on that thing. But I don't believe that they would be in the college football playoff if they go 10-2, even with two close losses. Now, we have also had people on the text line throw out like the question of, well, what if they lose by like 25 to Georgia and 2 to Alabama? They're not getting in. Like, it would have to be two close losses.
Yeah, look, and beyond that, again, this scenario also involves the wins they get, and they've had good ones, and there are good ones that would be part of this, but it would count on those wins looking as good as possible when the committee sits down as well. But I think there are some misconceptions on what the committee does, and that happens in hoops too.
So here was Caroline Fenton's take on Joe Rextroad's assertion that a 10-2 Tennessee team should get consideration for the college football playoff.
Caroline, you go first. What is your main issue with Joe's 10-2 stance on Tennessee football?
Well, I just think it's ridiculous to say that a two-loss team would deserve to get in the playoff. One, because a two-loss team has never gotten into the playoff. If you lose two games against two of the best teams in the country, yeah, that probably means you're a pretty darn good team. But that does not mean you're one of the four best teams in the country. If USC is undefeated, if Clemson is undefeated, if Ohio State is undefeated, those teams have a better resume to get into the playoff. It's the same thing last year with Cincinnati getting into the playoff. They were undefeated. Baylor won their conference, but they had two losses. They did not get in. Ohio State had two losses. They did not get in. Those teams both played a harder schedule than Cincinnati played, but Cincinnati was undefeated, so they got in because that sends a message of if you're undefeated, it doesn't matter what you have to do. If you won your conference, if you went 12-0 throughout the season, there's nothing more than you can do because you're still not going to be better than a two-loss Tennessee team, and that is absolutely preposterous. That is not how the college football playoff works.
That was Caroline Fenton fired yesterday. Up. She was all into Joe Rextroad yesterday on the program. Joe, your response, your retort to what Caroline has thrown out there.
Well, we had a good back and forth on that. And, of course, one of the first things I said was, well, UCF went undefeated, and they didn't get the reward. I was all for Cincinnati getting in. So, again, this scenario, what we haven't laid out is, okay, what are the other teams? I would agree that, well, of course, like undefeated Ohio State's in. I mean, I think undefeated Clemson's in.
Yes.
That's all fine. I think where it gets interesting is, okay, let's say, you know, Georgia, Alabama, you know, whatever. They go undefeated. One of them loses in the title game, but they're obviously both in. Ohio State rips through the Big Ten, which I think is what's going to happen. They're in. So then let's say USC loses a game. Because the USC thing is like even undefeated, I'm like, oh, God, what did they do? But let's just have the scenario they lose a game and Clemson loses a game. Clemson loses to NC State or Clemson. How about Clemson loses to Pittsburgh, by the way, which is, you know, I mean, like then it's like, well, Vols went out there and beat them. But there would have to be some help otherwise. But as far as, first of all, a couple things that Caroline said that I totally reject this. It's never happened before. Okay, great. Doesn't mean it can't. And it has been close. And the three teams that were two-loss teams that ended up fifth, ended up the last team out of the field, two of them were conference champs. One of them, Georgia 2019, was not. None of them had two losses against arguably the top two teams that were competitive games. They all had one of the losses was like not good in some way, including Georgia losing to South Carolina. So, and then the other thing that I just think is wrong that Caroline said to me on Twitter is the value of the division championship. It doesn't mean anything. Conference championships are officially tiebreakers, and that's fine. But it's like in the NCAA basketball tournament, a team can win its conference. Yeah, we're the conference champion, and the team that finished fourth in that conference can have a higher seed because they go through every single game. Who did you play? Who did you beat? If you happen to be randomly in an easy division versus a team that's in a ridiculous division, great, you won your division. I mean, it's the quality of the teams you played. It's the strength of record. It's the strength of your wins. And the Vols would have better wins than 2019 Georgia, again, if like Pittsburgh holds it up, if Kentucky, LSU, like I'm saying,
but you would need Kentucky to be 10-2. Like you would need Kentucky to have the exact same record that you have. They with losses to Georgia and Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. Pittsburgh to they you know, Pittsburgh beat Clemson for you. You know, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of. I just think, look, that profile with those wins, just the fact that you like if the, you're the committee. Here's another thing that they do in both committees for sure, and it's maybe more prevalent in basketball because there's like so many more teams and games. But this is, I know, a defining question: can this team win games in this tournament? Look at them. Break them down every which way, backward and forward statistically. Look at everything they've done on the field, where they are, the roster, their health. I mean, look, you have to look at everything they do. They look at everything. Can this team win games in this tournament? If you watch Tennessee almost beat Bama, almost beat Georgia, hang in with them in the fourth quarter, and especially if those teams are dusting everyone else, and I know Bama had a close one against Texas, how would you not have as much confidence in the Vols as anyone else out there? Again, I'm saying this scenario that I don't think is going to happen. Let's make that clear. Like, I don't know that they're going to go 10-2. And even if they do, I'll be surprised.
That's not true. You told me last night in a group text that you had already booked your hotel for the college football playoff. So why are you changing now?
Right, the problem is I don't know which semifinal they're going to be in. That's my dilemma.
You've got both of them.
Hey, man, I'm keeping an open mind. Look, beyond this discussion, the fourth best team in college football, like the top three, or I think it's like there's a tier and then there's a big gap. Fourth best team. I mean, I've watched Clemson. I've watched some of USC. Go around the room. You know, Kentucky looks pretty good right now. Tennessee looks pretty good right now. I don't know. It could be a lot of different teams.
Well, let me throw this one out at you. And now we're going down a rabbit hole, but we're going to go there anyway.
Sure.
One loss Michigan, their one loss is to Ohio State, or two loss Tennessee, and their two losses are close losses to Alabama and Georgia.
That's a good one. Let's see. First of all, like, I'm immediately eliminating Michigan from the playoff for 10 years because of their freaking non-conference schedule.
Non-conference schedule is not going to help them. That is for sure.
Absolutely embarrassing. Of course, you know, I'm not in charge of the committee, so they won't do that. Let's see. So Michigan would have wins over Penn State would be definitely a good win. Michigan State, I don't think would be that good of a win. They're pretty bad. Michigan State's pretty bad. So that their schedule gets weaker because Michigan State goes out and gets thumped at Washington. Penn State did go crush Auburn for whatever that's worth. I mean, Auburn.
I don't think it's worth all that much.
Yeah, you're right. So what else you got? Let's see, who do they play in the West? Yeah, I mean they're at Iowa, so that's an okay win.
That'll be a pretty game.
Nebraska. I mean Michigan's schedule is okay. They had to grind one out against Maryland. They go to Iowa, Indiana, Penn State. Okay, it's home. Michigan State at home, at Rutgers, Nebraska, Illinois. No. Dude, like that's like compare that schedule. Absolute garbage compared to what Tennessee has played. So if you were comparing those two teams and this is the Tennessee scenario we played out, and I don't care if Michigan blows out all those teams. It's not even close.
Question is, how much does the committee value the one loss and the two loss? I don't know.
And the thing is, man, that's where I get just furious. Like, okay, then let's just give you that schedule and give them yours and tell me what happens. I mean, playing Alabama and Georgia, no one has to do it.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion. What's your reaction to what Joe Rexroad has thrown out there? We'll take it on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code ROB. I've told you all week, the Packers and the Patriots this weekend. Mac Jones doesn't look like he's going to be in there. Packers are favored by 10 in this game. I'd probably take the Packers. I think that they're going to play pretty well in this game. I don't think New England's all that good anyway this year, but you take it any way you want to take it. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up today with promo code ROB for your no sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You can make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Denver Broncos against the Las Vegas Raiders at 3:25. NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports as well. Also, make sure that you're tuning in on 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Sunday following the Titans game for the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show brought to you by Renner's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. Lots of reaction to what Joe Rexrode has thrown out there about a 10-2 Vols team, maybe making the college football playoff. Gator Tim on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says a one-loss Michigan gets in over a one-loss Tennessee, let alone a two-loss Tennessee. All day, every day, the playoffs have always been about the brand. Tennessee does not have a brand.
That's so stupid. Now look, someone on the text line has said, and we've talked about this, the SEC three-team backlash. Now that That's a real thing. I will acknowledge as like, even, I mean, the committee, if it got to this, they'd say, we're looking at the four best teams, and it's not up to us to worry about conference. But there, it would be, like, if this scenario took place, it would be fantastic screaming and arguing across this sport. It's one of the things that makes this sport great, really, is how much we can scream about different things. So I do, like, there's no way those people, even though officially they wouldn't sit in the room and say, three SEC teams, guys, sorry. But in the back of their minds, yeah, I think that's real. But this whole, like, oh, it's just about the brands. You can go through and nitpick some of their choices if you want, and that's fine. There's a couple in there that you could definitely make a case the other way, but like they are doing way deeper stuff here than the brands. And if it's about the brands, Cincinnati's not in the playoff last year, folks. They are not in the playoff last year, okay? And Tennessee also has a huge brand. Everything about that makes me mad. I'm sorry.
I got a texter that says, I understand this eats up airtime and makes for good debate, but let's be realistic. It doesn't matter who else gets in. There is zero parity in college football. The national champion is going to be the loser of the SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama. Could be.
Fair point. I think that we should just never talk any more about college football. And we know this is true, so why would we ever talk about it? Why would we talk about the Vols? They're only undefeated and in the top 10 and about to play at LSU. Who cares? They're not going to win the national title. Why would we ever talk about it? Why am I so salty right now? I don't know.
You are salty. Gator Tim texted back in and says, Tennessee hasn't been good for 25 years. They don't get in this year.
Well, I'm not saying they're getting in, dude. I came up with this hypothetical that I don't think they're going to achieve, okay? I don't think they're good enough to do this, okay?
But, I mean, the last 25 years has nothing to do with right now.
That's true, too. Let's bring up more irrelevant things to argue about this.
Will from Nashville says, I'm not a Vols fan. In fact, I don't like them. I'm a Vanderbilt fan. The Michigan text just now was dumb. Yes, the brand matters, but the brand being the SEC, sorry, the Big Ten at the top, doesn't compare to the SEC. This from Will from Nashville. Look, I don't think you can talk about brands. You know, Michigan has obviously a good brand. Tennessee's got a good brand, too. I mean, right now, if you want to really go by brands, the brands in college football are Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. Those are the three brands. And, you know, you could throw Clemson in there, too.
Well, so, yeah, but you're talking like brand as in also known as being great. But, yes. I mean, I think a college football brand also is like huge fan base, right? I mean, Michigan's a huge brand. Yeah, yeah. So, but again, if that's like this North Star, this guy, and I understand, look, let's go back to basketball where it's different. But like I said the other day, you got a Duke, a Kentucky, a Michigan State, whatever on the bubble. I kind of feel like they might drift that way as opposed to like a good mid-major that maybe has a real case, okay? But it's different when you have four teams. I mean, like, there's so much focus on those four teams and every little nuance between them. Like, the idea that they're just going to be like, yeah, what's the best brand? Do the best brand. Come on. I mean, if you go through, if you really study what the committee has done every year, you can complain about some of them. The biggest complaint was probably Ohio State, which was, by the way, a brand. That was an argument. Oh, Ohio State over, over the Baylor-TCU combo, right?
Yeah.
Of course, they won the freaking thing with their third-string quarterback. So, brands matter. I'm not going to say they don't, but these people actually do try to evaluate the actual football. I swear they do. And that's why Cincinnati got in last year, and they darn well should have, and I'm glad they did. And it kind of should quiet some of that. It's only about brand talk. I mean, if you want to go through some of the other ones, Washington, over like Penn State in 2017. That's not a brand. That's not a good brand choice, is it?
No, I don't think so. No disrespect to the Pac-12. Can I just point out how much of a roadmap that Joe Rexroth specifically has given the LSU Tigers in the last week of discussion here to take down Tennessee? From talking about Tennessee maybe hanging in there with Alabama this week to now Tennessee potentially being 10-2 and getting in the college football playoff. This is good stuff for Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers before they take on the Vols.
I said, thanks a lot, Rex Woke.
Yes.
And Viking Matt called me Rocky Top Rex Woke and also said, stop yelling at us, Joe. I'm sorry, Viking Matt. You're right. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just the end of the show and I'm cranky.
Just, I keep trying to tell Tennessee fans, I understand you just took down Florida. LSU's not ranked at the moment, so I get all of it. But I still believe, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but if you think Tennessee is just going to waltz in and beat LSU by 28 points coming up in a couple of weeks, I think it may be a little bit more difficult than that for the Vols.
Yeah. Okay, Gator Tim. Gator Tim says, recent success has everything to do with the playoffs. Cincinnati took 3 years to get in. Cincinnati's 2021 team got in. Do you think the committee was like, well, let's see. What were they last year and the year before? You got to earn that over several years. What are we talking about here? You are specifically pissing me off, Gator Tim.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last year was the one year that they went undefeated too, right?
Yes. It was. These teams are evaluated on the year they're playing. Please.
Just throwing it out there. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroth as Joe Rexroth loses his mind to end the show here today on the program. Adam Bingham in for me tomorrow. So hope y'all have a great weekend. I will be participating in Pigskin Pick'em.
So a 30-year-old's 3-day weekend. I like it.
Woo!
Very much looking forward to it. Coming up next is Chase, Willie, and D Mace. They'll have you covered on all things Titans and Colts, looking ahead to the big matchup on Sunday. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroth, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.